and we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup. We're in a cramped little studio this week, but Happy New Year.
Did anything happen while we were away? I think Trump was impeached while we were away.
Yeah.
What else?
A lot of stuff happened.
World War III. All right.
Averted for the moment. We are going to catch you up on several weeks of news. Luckily, it was the holidays, so there wasn't a ton of news, but that's what we'll be doing because we had two special shows in the last 2 weeks, and we got some very nice notes from viewers about both the Rights and Reactions documentary, where we saw the extremely young Andy Hum still holding on to his Long Island accent.
Half a lifetime ago.
He has now gotten rid of.
Not completely, I hope.
I don't know. It was shocking to me. And the HIV/AIDS panel show, which we continue to be extremely grateful to our panelists for because they were so open and generous and thoughtful, and we really appreciated that. And you can catch up with both of those by going to our website at gayusatv.org, and you can see those shows if you missed them.
What happened?
Well, to me, the headline of the week is this stunning study on transgender identity, which I think really has a chance of changing the conversation out of the University of Washington. So we'll start by telling you about that.
That's science-based, of course.
Exactly.
President Trump has trimmed more LGBT rights at home while his UN ambassador spoke out at a conference against harm to LGBT people internationally.
You may notice me sneering at that. The split in the United Methodist Church over affirming LGBT love is going to be finalized shortly.
While we were away, and of course this is nothing completely new, but there was really an alarming wave of murders of trans people. And a UN official condemned the U.S. torture of Chelsea Manning.
There are signs of hope around the world this week from the Philippines, China, Belize, India, and Fort Thomas, Kentucky.
But we had setbacks in the Ukraine, Brazil, and in St. Peter's Square.
That was a nasty one. The most prolific rapist in United Kingdom history is a gay man who preyed on non-gay men.
Terrible story. Jerry Herman died. He was the composer of Hello, Dolly and Mame, but also La Cage aux Folles, I Am What I Am.
And Andy will review some terrific theater from London.
I had a good trip, but we are going to start with this study.
Well, this study, I think, is just stunning. This comes out of the University of Washington. And what it did was look at trans identity, how people who report as trans feel about their identity. And it interviewed hundreds of trans people, hundreds of cis people, and compared their reports of their feelings. And what they found, and I think this is a whole new level of understanding, is the extent to which trans identity is inherent from the very beginning.
Sure.
And inherent in the same way that non-trans people feel confident about their identity.
I'm a boy, I'm a girl. That comes very parents talk about that's very early.
Yes, but to me, it was a whole new angle on it and a way of understanding it in relation, if we must, to non-trans people, but really making an equivalence of people feeling their identity completely separate from their anatomy or anything else, and that this really is the core understanding of their identity. And it puts into, for me, into high relief the ways we do discriminate and practice violence against people and how completely crazy that is, and tragic, and and something we need to come to an understanding about.
And we read this week or last couple of weeks about how the Trump campaign is thinking of using ignorance about transgender issues and prejudice about transgender issues as one of their big things in the campaign this year, maybe even putting things on the ballot to
as George Bush did in the past with same-sex marriage. But we know that we're in
a transition period.
Exactly. And that our understanding is evolving. But this study really, I think, is something that hits hard and should really make an impact in terms of our understanding. And I hope will convince people to adjust their thinking, to open their minds, and to understand that this is real and that it's something that we have argued against and looked down on for far too long, and we really, really need to think seriously about getting over that.
We're going to send it to J.K. Rowling. You just Google that.
There was another interesting study, not the same thing, but in the same realm, out of Boston, a medical study that looked at trans men and their ability to produce eggs, even though they have had some testosterone therapy to transition. And what they found was that trans men, even if they've been on heightened testosterone to transition, if they go off it for a few months, are just as capable of producing eggs as cisgender women, and that this means that they have a perfect opportunity for fertility in these ways. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I don't think has been fully understood either. So that's more good news.
Oh. So to the bad news.
Yeah.
A real big wave of murders of transgender people, starting with Nikki Kuhnhausen, 17 years old in Vancouver, Washington State. She had disappeared on June the 6th, but her remains were just found in Larch Mountain, Oregon, December 7th. A Vancouver man was arrested, David Boldenon. He strangled her after learning she was transgender. Activists are very much upset that he's only getting $750,000 bail.
She was a native of Washington, D.C.,
right,
but was murdered in Vancouver?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. Okay.
And then there's Yahira Nesby, murdered in Brooklyn, 33 years old, shot dead.
In Brownsville.
Yeah.
The police say she was killed by her boyfriend, and the suspect had a broken leg. She was part of the ballroom scene.
Well, he jumped out a window, which is why he had a broken leg.
30 people went to a vigil on December 19th, including Jemani Williams, the public advocate of the city of New York, the number two official in the city.
And then in Toronto, Canada,
Julie Berman.
Thank you.
Who was a trans activist.
Exactly. Out, proud, working very hard on improving the lives of trans
51
people.
51 years old.
Yeah, and killed at home by a new acquaintance.
Known to her.
Yeah.
She had a long... the killer had a history of supporting transgender rights, so it's all very strange and will be sorted out. And then Oklahoma... Dustin Parker, 25 years old, also known as an activist for LGBTQ causes in the little town of McAllister, population 18,000, so a very brave soul, helped organize their first Pride March last year. He was a cab driver. His company offered free rides for people home on New Year's Eve, and he was killed by somebody that he picked up. He was a founder of Southeastern Equality and survived by his wife and four kids, two from his wife's previous relationship.
Beloved in the community, a real shock to lose him. Now, that's four people we've just told you about. This does cover a couple of weeks because we've been off from doing the news. But that's still a lot of people in a very short period of time. And I was slightly impressed, at least, to see the Democratic candidates at their last debate talking about the murders of particularly black trans women in the last few years and the epidemic. And I was glad they acknowledged it. They didn't go into much depth or have any answers about what to do with it, but at least it got mentioned.
And on the Republican side, I believe it's the judge in one of the transgender military cases who was saying to the administration, you've got to produce all these documents.
Three courts have now ordered the Trump administration to provide the documents about their decision to ban trans people from the military. And it's going to be fascinating to know whether they produce anything, because this was all about Pence and the Family Research Council and the Alliance Defending Freedom getting in Trump's ear and saying, you have to do this. And it was not the military was against banning trans troops. Mattis was against it. And it was strictly the outside right wing that made it happen.
Pence is the one in Trump's ear basically pushing for war in the Middle East so they can bring about the rapture, because they're these apocalyptic Christians. And then there's Chelsea Manning, who was still in prison for not being willing to testify in the WikiLeaks case. A UN official, Neil Smeltzer, special rapporteur, rapporteur on torture, said that the continued incarceration of her for not testifying to the grand jury amounts to torture, called it a coercive jail sentence and a violation of international law.
And don't forget, Obama commuted her sentence 2 years ago, and yet she is back in prison because she won't testify in the WikiLeaks case, which is simply her ethical decision that she doesn't have to do this. But this is one of these things where she's kept in prison until the end of the grand jury term, and then they'll impanel a new grand jury and put her back in there. It's just, it is torture.
A couple of more violence stories. A gay couple in the Bronx was attacked by a gang on Christmas Eve outside of McDonald's, and it was a robbery attempt. But Juan Fresnada, 60, was killed in this. I mean, they went after him for like 15 minutes. He was trying to protect his partner, Byron Caceres, who survived. One guy was arrested who was 18 years old, but he claims, I was part of a different group. I just came upon this. I didn't do it. But this was a gang. Fresnada came to New York during the Mariel boat lift in 1980 when gays were being expelled from Cuba. And just a horrendous story.
And a couple more trans stories. In San Francisco, a trans woman was picked up by ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement organization, and kidnapped basically off to prison in Texas, where she is in a male-holding cell and forced to wear men's clothes and give up all hormones or anything. The San Francisco Public Defender's Office is now filed for a restraining order against ICE to get her back and to prevent them from doing stuff like this. But this is more torture, right, just of someone who doesn't have a name. This is how our government is treating people.
Sorry to keep bringing you bad news. We'll have some good news later in the show.
We're getting there.
But in Washington State, in Pasco, two guys were holding hands as they were at a taco truck, and four men harassed and attacked the couple at the truck on Sunday, punching and kicking one, giving one a concussion and a bone fracture. They've been arrested. They're from 24 to 38 years old and charged with felony malicious harassment.
And did you know that in New York State, it is illegal for a minor trans person to change their identity on their birth certificate?
Why hasn't that been fixed?
Well, Lambda Legal is now suing on behalf of a 14-year-old trans young man to change that. Other states allow it.
Why doesn't our LGBT-positive legislature just change it?
He has succeeded in changing his passport and his Social Security identity with the federal government, but New York State won't let him change his birth certificate.
And yet New York State does ban discrimination discrimination on the basis of gender identity and expression.
Yes, so you'd think he'd be able to do that.
Should I go back to politics and Trump and things? How about
some
Trump things?
Yes,
well,
I'm ready for
this
that
was
now.
The week that Trump told the evangelicals he wants to bring prayer back into the public schools. It's also, while we were away, we told you about Ambassador Daniel Foote to Zambia, who openly criticized the government for giving 15-year sentences to two guys who had consensual sex. He has been recalled by our government. It's not by the state.
Because he was...
The State Department at first defended what he said.
Yes.
And over sexual orientation. And now they've recalled him.
Well, they've recalled him because he's been declared basically persona non grata on Zambia. Now what they're trying to decide is, do they withdraw or cancel the $500 million in aid that
they
give to
Zambia? Well, you
know what?
I hope not. Because Zambia is going through the severest drought in recent history, and a million people are at risk. I'm very much against homophobia and their treatment of us, and I think they're scapegoating us because they have a corrupt government. But the people of Zambia don't deserve to die for that.
Right.
By the way, the Interior Department eliminated sexual orientation from anti-discrimination guidelines.
They're just going through systematically.
Every department.
Part of that may be that one of Trump's legal advisors we read about while we were off is this woman, Jenna Ellis, who comes from the James Dobson Family Institute. She is anti-LGBT. She is a Fox commentator. She's an impeachment consultant to Trump. They're lining up the monsters in the White House.
And then there's a rumor he's having an affair with that Christian woman that he brought into the White House. Now, I have to wait for Larry Kramer to confirm that.
I thought we didn't do rumors
I'm only kidding. I read it somewhere.
Yeah, okay.
No. But it's awful that the woman is there with him in the White House. That's bad enough. And then what about Kelly Craft, who was our UN ambassador? They had a conference at the UN with Richard Grenell, the out gay guy, and she, who's the ambassador to Germany, and she said no person should be harmed, tortured, or killed because of their sexual orientation. Tell it to the White House.
Yeah. They also did not include trans or intersex people in their complaint. What else do I have?
How about
here
the EEOC?
Wait a minute.
Well.
And people are condemning it as bad diplomacy because they are looking at gay stuff in isolation,
right,
instead of a more holistic thing. And they bully people every day. So this business of Grenell and Kraft complaining about homophobia in countries at the UN is laughable.
Now, the White House is responsible for filling out appointments in the EEOC. Of course, they don't do it for hardly any department, fill them out. But they are looking at nominating Jocelyn Samuels, who is the ED of the LGBT Williams Institute. HHS Director of the Office of Civil Rights, which is now
Justice Department, too.
And of course, office is now run by anti-LGBT bigots, but she has not.
I think the EEOC is one of those places where they have to balance appointments. They have to simultaneously nominate a Republican and a Democrat.
Yes.
So they're stuck with someone they
Lambda
won't like.
Legal informs us that one in three of Trump's circuit appeals court picks have a history of anti-LGBTQ bias.
Only one in three?
A history of open anti-LGBT bias.
Was a qualifying
Apparently
factor.
Is these days.
Yeah. Do we have anything to say about the death of Don Imus?
I don't. I mean, he was, very rude to us and to everybody else, and, used to start crying and apologize once in a while. But, he sowed a lot of bigotry, I think.
I'll take a point of personal privilege to remember Fred Graham, the CBS correspondent who I worked with when I was there a little, and who then went to Court TV and covered my trial for the St. Patrick's Six. I felt like I was in CBS court. I was being prosecuted by Dan Rather Jr., and covered by Fred Graham. But Fred Graham was a good guy and a guy who really cared about what he was doing, and I like that. And also Neil Pierce, who no one has heard of, who I worked at the National Journal. That was my first job out of college. And the National Journal was a rebel publication started by people who had left Congressional Quarterly. And he was one of the founders of National Journal who had left Congressional Quarterly. Also a good guy. I had some good mentors and colleagues in my early career.
My condolences.
And well, I'm sorry to lose them and happy to remember them.
Okay. In politics, Pete Buttigieg is still in the top tier in Iowa and New Hampshire, but a new national poll says that Buttigieg has fallen to 6%, and Biden leads with 28, Bernie at 16, and tied at 11 are Warren and the guy that Ann Northrup warned you about, Mike Bloomberg, at 11%. So he's got the biggest bounce in the latest national poll.
And is getting Trump's goat by putting an ad on the Super Bowl, forcing Trump to also put a $10 million ad on the Super Bowl. Bloomberg is trying to bankrupt Trump by doing dueling commercials. And Bloomberg's commercials are excellent. Excellent. This is not a commercial for Bloomberg.
No,
I
mean,
many complaints.
No, but he is. I appreciate what he's. I don't like Bloomberg, and I don't want him to be the next president. I will vote for him if it's over Trump. But his ads are really giving it. They're not about him as much as they are about how bad Trump is.
Yes. Well, they're about
and
him as a manager.
BS is about everybody being entitled to health care. Come on,
Well, that's always been one of his things.
All right.
In Ames, Iowa, Adolfo Martinez, 30 years old, was sentenced to 16 years in prison for burning a rainbow flag that he tore down from a UCC church.
Yeah, I know.
16
I
years.
I don't know.
Well, the answer is
he was
a repeat offender.
I'm not crazy about those laws.
That's a bit much. He talked about how he hates homosexuals, but still, okay. I don't know that we need
The people who hate homosexuals in the United Methodist Church, although they would say they don't hate us, they just hate our sin. So they really have laid out how this split is going to happen. The plan is called, I have to read it, the Protocol of Reconciliation and Grace Through Separation. I'm all for that. We want to do that in this country. The churches that separate, and these are the ones who are anti-gay, get $25 million over 4 years and can keep their property. But this has to be approved at the General Conference.
In May.
Yeah, and then our side can lift the ban on LGBT clergy and marriage.
But not until that happens in May. They're not lifting it now.
And even when they do it, it's still going to be left up to local congregations whether to do same-sex marriages. The spinoff would be a traditionalist denomination sticking to anti-LGBT dogma. This was all brokered by Kenneth Feinberg, who did the 9/11 settlements.
And it's because the Methodists voted against allowing same-sex marriage or LGBT clergy because most of the vote came from outside the United States. But though,
where they are true believers.
Well, they're whatever. So now the U.S. church, which is majority pro-LGBT, will reconstitute itself as pro-LGBT, and the minority of U.S. churches that are anti will go off and be traditionalist Methodists. All right.
I think divorce is good.
Yes. Look for Amber Glenn at the upcoming National Figure Skating Championships in Greensboro, North Carolina. She has just come out as bisexual, pansexual. She's happy with either term.
Now, we were not invited to Vizcaya in Miami for the wedding, but the U.S. women's soccer stars, Allie Krieger and and
Ashlyn Harris.
There it is. They got married in Miami, Florida.
In quite a wedding.
I've been to that thing. I went to an AIDS benefit there
at
once.
Biscaya?
It's quite a place, yes.
Wow, I'm sure. Well, it looked like quite a place. We have some pictures of their, there they are.
At Biscaya.
That is quite a stunning
couple. And everybody
couple.
Was, most of the stars of the
yeah.
team attended.
Yeah.
There were a lot of other famous names there, but they were the names of the tables at the party.
And there's their rainbow wedding cake.
Yeah.
Congratulations to them. Quite an affair.
Good news from Fort Thomas, Kentucky.
Yes.
Population 16,263. It's the 17th in Kentucky to pass a fairness ordinance. The vote was 5-0. They're still pushing for a statewide bill there, which has never been voted on, and they will have a rally for that on February 19th at 1:30 at the Kentucky Capitol Rotunda.
Back to sports news.
All right.
Katie Sowers, who
yeah.
we have mentioned on this show before, is an assistant offensive coach for the San Francisco 49ers. And she will be featured this weekend when the 49ers play Minnesota on Saturday. And she's featured in a new Microsoft ad that I think is going to air during the game. And she is one of the first women to have any coaching position in the NFL. And she's been there a while. She's evidently doing well with the 49ers, who are one of the top two rated teams in the NFL this year.
I skipped a positive story for transgender community in Palatine, Illinois. The school board there...
Palatine,
whatever. Let's call the whole thing off. Mm-hmm. They settled a 4-year fight at the high school over
yes.
trans access to restrooms and locker rooms. Students can use the facility consistent with their gender identity. The board said that it's in line with federal guidelines. I'm surprised we still...
Obama guidelines,
well,
not Trump guidelines.
They settled it.
Well, when it started 4 years ago, it was in line with federal guidelines.
Oh, here's a hairy story, a crime story from New York. A gay man was arrested for threatening the staff of the Nowhere Bar there in the East Village. For making white powder that he said was anthrax and sending it to them. The police were able to identify him by the credit card used to buy the stamp. Maybe he just bought it at the post office. Anyway, he was banned for threatening
Weird.
Emails, faces 5 years and deportation to Canada. He condemned the staff as Democrats.
We're going to hell. And partially in the upcoming election, you mentioned the possibility of the Trump forces putting anti-trans ballot measures together. Well, Georgia, South Carolina, and Kentucky are going to try to outlaw any gender confirmation surgery, puberty blockers for those under 18.
This is the new thing.
Yep. Other states are going to try to outlaw abortion. It's just
ugly,
hideous.
Ugly.
So I'm very concerned about all of this.
Sure.
Did you read who Ed Buck's new lawyer is?
No. This is the guy who drugged or introduced people to drugs and they died on his premises. He's a big Democratic gay fundraiser.
In L.A., and he's going to trial for
right. So who's the lawyer?
I think this is a suicidal move on his part. Christopher Darden.
Oh, right. I did read that a long time ago.
Yeah, well, we're catching up with
international
the news. Sure.
Well, the international news in Colombia, in Bogota, the out Claudia Lopez was inaugurated as the mayor of Bogota, the first woman and the first out gay or lesbian of any major city in Latinx America. Our task is to tear down invisible borders, she said.
And newly married to her wife, who's a senator in Colombia.
Angelica Lozano.
Well, and speaking of marriages, Sark, the island of Sark, is the last in the United Kingdom to legalize marriage. Sark in the English Channel. There aren't many people there, but now they... But that's why I'm even more impressed that they have legalized marriage.
Horrible story out of the United Kingdom. I hadn't read about this before, but it's been going on for a while. The most prolific rapist in the history of the country is a gay man from Indonesia. We have a picture of him. Reynard Sinaga, 36, convicted of 159 offenses, including 136 anal rapes. he got mostly straight men in Manchester. He would hang outside a bar. He would, you know, little slim little guys. Oh, do you need to recharge your phone? Or you drink?
A lot of them were drunk, and right. He would offer to take them to his place.
He takes them to his home. He drugs them, and he rapes them, and he films it. One of them woke up during it. Grabbed the phone, and they found all these videos of the things. Mm-hmm. And this horrible human being insisted that because he said, oh, they all were consensual. They had to replay the tapes in front of these men in the courtroom, and he just laughed and thought it was great. I was making them gay, and, you know, they didn't know they were gay. I mean, just awful.
And they were all, date rape drugged.
Yep.
Terrible.
Well, he's out of commission.
In Milan, Italy, a 25-year-old gay man was attacked by a dozen guys, hit with a broken bottle, really roughed up. A big story in Italy.
But anyway, in Belize, the Court of Appeal there did affirm that banning gay sex is unconstitutional, and that's the case of Caleb Orozco, who bravely brought that case.
In Brazil, Molotov cocktails were thrown at the office of the comedy group that made the satiric movie The First Temptation of Christ, the movie that's known as the Gay Jesus movie.
Jesus brings his boyfriend home to the Holy Family.
And this is airing on Netflix in Brazil, and it's become a huge controversy, even though much worse kinds of things are accepted as...
2 million signed a petition.
Yeah. Well, it reminded me of the Terrence McNally movie about Christ is gay that was banned in New York for a while.
Don't try satirizing the prophet. We don't even do it here.
Evidently not. Muslims don't like it. Christians don't like it. I guess it goes on and on. And I guess the Vatican thought that we were satirizing them. Two gay men, one a Florida state representative, Carlos
Guillermo Smith,
mm-hmm. and his husband, were strolling across St. Peter's Square. There they are. The state rep is on the right there. Strolling across St. Peter's Square, holding hands, a Vatican official came up to them and threatened to prosecute them if they did not cut it out.
Don't you know that Pope Francis slaps people like you? No.
Horrible.
It's horrible.
And people don't think we have anything to worry about.
No.
I mean, that's not being murdered or attacked with a broken bottle, but it's across the spectrum.
By the way, in the United Kingdom, a member of parliament there has come out because she was sort of threatened with coming. She has a lover. She's running for the head of the Liberal Democratic Party, Leila Moran. She acknowledged being in a long-term relationship. She identifies as pansexual, I think it is.
And Stacey London, the host of What to Wear, came out as having a female lover, and I don't know that she's figured out her identity.
And now that the dust is settled in the UK elections, 8% of the parliament is LGBT or pansexual.
8%.
8%.
Yeah.
21 conservatives, 15 Labour, 9 Scottish National Party, and 1 independent.
How come so many conservatives?
I'm happy that the European Parliament stepped in and slammed Poland for its LGBT-free zones, which are being adopted all over a certain area of Poland.
Cuba is going to revisit the same-sex marriage question in 2021. They were on the verge of putting it in the new constitution until conservatives made them take it out, so they're going to try again in a couple of years.
And the stories are coming out of China that they're seriously considering looking at the legalization of same-sex marriage to get themselves more in line with the rest of the world.
But the Philippines, the Supreme Court there has firmly rejected the idea of same-sex marriage.
But President Duterte, who can be a pretty horrible guy, hosted an LGBT party in the presidential residence and signed an executive order on diversity and inclusion, including us.
Well, another thing about China is that they okayed the lesbian kiss in Star Wars, while Singapore and Dubai why we're cutting it out of the movie.
I have to say, on the flights that I took, the LGBT scenes were in there, the love scenes, the sex scenes on the screen, right there on the plane. They're not cutting them, at least on American Airlines. In India, the first university for trans people is going to open in Uttar Pradesh, funded by the Trans Education Trust, starting with two students.
It's like the Harvey Milk High School.
Well, it started with about 10.
I think there are only
20.
eight there when
no,
I started.
I think they had to have 20 kids. We worked at Hetrick Martin Institute, which started the Harvey Milk School. The thing was, if an agency had 20 or more kids that weren't going to school, they could get a teacher at the agency, and that's how it got started. Now it has over 100.
I don't think 20 were showing up for class.
No,
when
well,
I was first
please.
There.
In Rivne, R-I-V-I-N-E, Ukraine, the council there voted to ban deviant LGBT marches. I don't know if that means that the other LGBT marches are okay. 36-0, but there were two abstentions.
But a court in Croatia has okayed gay foster parents. This is a suit brought by a same-sex couple that had been rejected as adoptive parents. They took it to court, and the court said, well, you can be foster parents. That's okay. Kids need parents. And something we, last 3 weeks ago, when last we were doing the news, had a headline about Japan and transgender rights, and then managed not to do the story. A court there has ruled that trans workers are entitled to use the bathroom that fits their daily gender expression at the workplace. So that's a good ruling in Japan.
In South Africa, the Supreme Court of Appeal removed the concept of hurt from hate speech laws. They're affirming the freedom of expression. It came in the case of a Ugandan ambassador, the ambassador to Uganda, who wrote a column defending Mugabe and his anti-gay stuff and calling for revision of the same-sex marriage law in South Africa. And the judge urged the bigot to be more gracious, but said we're not free to inflict physical or psychological harm, but you're entitled to your views.
If only Trump judges felt that way. In Pakistan, the government has announced that it will cover comprehensive care, including surgery for trans people. They acknowledge that trans people have been discriminated against, and they are going ahead with offering comprehensive medical care.
Germany has a conservative government, and the cabinet there banned conversion therapy. It goes to the lower house now.
And Taiwan will hold an election this weekend, and the president there is being gay-bashed for being pro-LGBT and having been in favor of same-sex marriage, which was legalized there last year. But because she is regarded as having the right attitudes about China and condemning their repressive policies, she's considered a favorite for re-election. We'll see how that goes.
Okay. AIDS news.
Yeah.
Well, Facebook did pull some of those bogus anti-PrEP ads that were carried misleading warnings. Advocates are wary about, you know, whether this is going to be the full nine yards on that. But that was where 50 groups signed a letter saying, don't do this. And it seems to have had some effect.
Well, there are a variety of opinions on this. Some people feel that the ads are, are driving people away from PrEP.
Yeah,
but
we should say the ads are saying, have you suffered from these side effects? We want to sue on your behalf, basically, right?
Yeah. Some people feel those ads are an appropriate attack on Gilead and should be allowed to run. And others feel that they are fear-mongering about side effects and that they're overblowing it, and therefore the ads should not run.
Right.
So there's not unanimity of opinion there.
Go ahead.
In New York State, our Governor Cuomo vetoed a bill to regulate pharmacy benefits managers, mostly because of heavy lobbying by the industry that didn't want regulations placed.
This is one of the reasons your drugs cost so much. In Australia, they're finding drug-resistant dysentery emerging among gay men. Shigellosis, spotted in gay and bi men. It's a bacterial infection. It's highly infectious, and oral antibiotics are not working. It's been linked to travel to India, but, you know, everybody blames diseases on other countries when they get them. And then there's we mourn the passing of David Stern, the NBA commissioner for decades. He died in 1991. There he is in the middle there between
seated.
He stood by Magic Johnson when he made his big announcement, which had an enormous effect. That, as Magic said, that I have the HIV virus, and got him to supported him playing in the All-Star game the following year.
Yeah, it was a little sad that the first thing Magic did was withdraw from playing. But then...
Well, he thought he was going to die, I think, basically.
Yes.
And that's what everybody did in those days, almost.
And that was... when was that?
91, I think.
Yeah. Yes, 91. And then he came back and played in the All-Star game. And then he came back and played in the league for a little while.
And that he bought
was
a team.
Before the drugs came in 90 and
opened
set
a movie,
up
movie theaters.
Yes.
Gender non-conforming son.
Stern did support him. Stern also helped create the WNBA. But he was also regarded as a tough guy and controversial on his own, so he didn't have 100% support.
Okay.
But he did a lot more than a lot of league commissioners.
Okay.
So shall we wade into
Golden Globes?
A ton of entertainment news. Yes.
Yeah. Well, the LGBT highlight, besides Billy Porter's outfit, I think, was Ellen getting the Carol Burnett Award from Kate McKinnon, which was really heartfelt on Kate's part.
Yes.
Ellen turns it into a comedy routine, thanking her husband, Mark, and paid tribute to Burnett. Every time she pulled her ear, it's like she was saying, it's okay, I'm gay, too. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was amusing.
It was weird.
But I was a lot more moved by Kate McKinnon, who really was terrific and who I think is always terrific. More on that in a minute. But she introduced Ellen for about 2.5 minutes and talked about how Ellen had been a role model for her and really made it possible for her to be out. Although a friend called me that night and said, Kate McKinnon is gay?
Oh,
I said, what planet are you on? Come on, you're a hip person. How dare you not know that Kate McKinnon is gay?
I was happy to see Taron Egerton win for playing Elton John in Rocket Man, and and Bernie Taupin to pick up the award for best song from Rocket
Man. And say that this was the first award they'd ever won together. And
shocking.
They've never won a Grammy? How could Elton John not have won a Grammy? That's crazy.
That's shocking.
So,
but I thought the best speech of the night was Michelle Williams. She won for being Gwen Verdon and Fosse Verdon, and she gave a powerful speech about a woman's right to choose. It's what men have been doing for years, which is why the world looks so much like them. Let's make it work. Look more like us.
Well, I liked Patricia Arquette's speech, which was also very radical and terrific. But I have to say, I love Ricky Gervais as the host. He's so iconoclastic, and he stands up there and says, this is all nonsense. And you can't give these speeches because you have no credibility. You do horrible things, and how dare you give these
but
speeches?
But he's saying that archly to some extent.
Yes, but it was highly amusing. But the real, the one that really warmed my heart was Awkwafina, who I adore. And her winning for the farewell was just terrific, terrific.
See, Dad, I got a job.
That was great.
Okay, and Jake Gyllenhaal got a job. He's going to be in the movie of Fun Home, the film version.
He's producing it.
Oh, he's going to play the gay dad, the father of a lesbian. Sam Gold, who directed the wonderful musical, will again direct.
Well, Jake Gyllenhaal's got a little streak going here. He plays a closeted gay man in Brokeback Mountain. He's playing a closeted gay man in Fun Home. And he's also doing a movie as the closeted Leonard Bernstein.
Oh, really?
Yes.
He's going to play Leonard?
Yes. Yes.
He is?
Yes.
And he's going to be back in the West End playing in Sunday in the Park with George.
And thank you to the Oprah Network, which has renewed David Makes Man for a second year, the Terrell Alvin McCraney series, which is very, very moving and smart. And that's going to be coming back. And I'm surprised because it was so unusual that I thought it would never be renewed. A
couple of other renewals. Netflix has picked up Ryan O'Connell's series for a second season.
Your old friend Ryan?
I think he's cute. Comedy, he's gay, he has cerebral palsy. And it's
No, it's a different... who is your...
My Ryan?
No, your O'Connell.
I shouldn't expose it to the public.
Not him.
Okay.
Yes, it's up to you.
I did go out with an O'Connell once.
Yes.
Many years ago. And the series After Forever, produced by Michael Slade and Kevin Spiritus, is on for season two. It's live on Amazon now. It's a very good web series.
I want to just, because I think we have a little time, mention a few. We've seen a few movies. Bombshell, I liked a lot. And that has a very lesbian element of Kate McKinnon as an out lesbian, a closeted lesbian, working at Fox News and having a little thing with Margot Robbie. Which is quite intriguing. Also, Holland Taylor is in the movie, not as a lesbian, but of course she is. So that's just a little intrigue about Bombshell, which I did enjoy. I like Jojo Rabbit.
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, it's, this sort of comedy drama about Hitler. and some people think it's a little facile, but I found it. It was sort of Wes Anderson-ish to be. It sort of reminded me of the Grand Budapest Hotel at the beginning.
And I understand you weren't too fond of Marriage Story.
Wait a minute. Before I get to that, Jojo, and then I saw the American Experience episode McCarthy about Joe McCarthy.
Yeah.
You could have just put Trump's face on McCarthy for the entire documentary, and word for word had the same story.
Well, they both worked with Roy Cohn.
Absolutely, and he, of course, is prominent in it. But look up American Experience McCarthy, which
was a closet case.
And that's dealt with there, too. And
it's okay to say that?
It's all there in the documentary, and you can find it on the PBS website. It's fascinating, even if you think you know all about McCarthy.
Well, when I confronted Roy Cohn on a television show, I said, why do you have pictures of three of the most famous closet cases in history on your mantelpiece? Joe McCarthy, J. Edgar Hoover, and Cardinal Spellman. I said, there are even stories about you, Mr. Cohn, but who would want you?
And what did he say to that?
Well, he didn't respond. And then Barry Farber, who was the host, said, Hum here says you're a homosexual. And he goes, I am not a member of Mr. Hum's club.
Because they have no power.
Yeah, well,
and
that's...
And I have power.
That's Tony Kushner's thing.
Exactly.
But I am what I am. Jerry Herman has died.
Oh, I thought we were going to do Marriage Story and other movies.
Oh, okay, please.
Marriage Story, loathsome. Horrible movie.
Don't watch it with a partner.
Privileged.
It's about divorce.
Narcissistic, arrogant. It's bad Woody Allen, if you can imagine that.
I didn't hate it that much.
I did.
Kevin Sessoms wrote that he liked the performances, but he said that the milieu of theater was really not captured properly.
I didn't mind Laura Dern getting the supporting actress
playing the divorce lawyer.
But the movie itself, just repulsive.
Do you hear that, Laura? And doesn't mind.
The Harriet Tubman movie Harriet was a little kind of TV movie-ish. It was okay. And I liked The Irishman.
The Irishman, okay.
But I was able to watch it at home, and then you can get up and go do other things and then come back to it.
I had to with The Irishman, watching it on Netflix.
Yeah.
All right. So Jerry Herman died at 88 years old. He wrote Hello, Dolly. He wrote Mame. We got a picture of him there with Harvey Fierstein, who we wrote... who was the book writer for La Cage aux Folles, which he did. And that was his big comeback, I Am What I Am, that song. He was a long-term survivor of AIDS. He was survived by his partner, Terry Harler, and won 3 Tonys, Kennedy Center Honors, a rich, rich, rich life in the theater. He left us humming. That's not a pun, coming out of the theater.
PBS did a show called, they have a series called Craft in America, and they did an episode called Quilts. So I thought, oh, well, you know, that's a wide-ranging subject. Well, guess what? Nothing about the AIDS Memorial Quilt. Not a moment. Not anything.
Really?
Nothing. And it just fed into what I... And they had Ken Burns talking about quilts as a record of the country.
You know, Ken in his documentaries doesn't deal with gay stuff so much. Never dealt with Eleanor Roosevelt's lesbianism. You know, he will talk about it when he's talking in the talk segments, when he's, you know...
Well, not in this one. I found it very disappointing. But I found the general year-end in review stories that I saw on TV, read in the Times, and the decade in review. Decade in review, nothing gay.
Well, you know what?
They didn't even mention marriage legalization.
Larry Kramer wants you to get angry about that. His new book, The American People, Volume 2, is out, 880 pages. Got a nice review in the Times. I have yet to read it, but, you know, there it is.
The book or the review?
The book. Read the review.
Well, the review ended up saying, I can't say I liked it, but I ended up loving it.
Yeah.
So if you can get in with that, that's a thing to do. And but I'm really annoyed by this lack of mention in these decade in review reviews.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that the GLAAD Awards in L.A. are going to honor Janet Mock and Taylor Swift. I think that's pretty cool.
And the New York Awards are bringing theater back. They'd gotten rid of it for a while. I was sad to read, I didn't know him, but the creator of Ugly Betty, a 45-year-old guy named Silvio Horta, has died, took his own life in Miami. There's a picture of him with some of the people from the show. It was a big hit from 2006 to 2010, won the Golden Globes twice. I had a lot less success after. I don't know the reason that he took his life, but sad.
Well, and Kevin Spacey seems to be getting out of a lot of his things there. One lawsuit dropped by the massage therapist who had claimed his estate dropped the suit. The massage therapist had died. He claimed that Spacey had sexually harassed him, but the estate has dropped the suit. Another Scandinavian writer who'd accused Spacey of groping him, that case was ended. He had committed suicide. And Massachusetts prosecutors dropped a sexual assault charge after the kid who'd accused him was found to have manipulated evidence.
Story fell apart.
Yeah, so Kevin Spacey is sliding out of a lot of these things for one reason or another.
Well, in better news, I had a great theater trip to London. One of the great highlights was seeing Ian McKellen on stage. That show ran in New York once for one night. He did this for charity for a year. All the money went to different charities around the place. It's a 3-hour, one-man show.
That's not him on stage.
That's him. Well, that's him in the lobby of the theater. So after he says, I'll be in the lobby collecting more money for charity. And so I thought, my God, he's just worked for 3 hours. It was quite unforgettable. But I'll tell you, one of the things that happened to me on this trip is I land on the day of the election, the horrible conservative overwhelming victory, and, you know, feeling terrible. And I started to feel like, after watching these shows, I'm glad about Brexit. Because this country, after you watch some of these plays and you think about the history of Britain, you're going to be better off with them within their own shores and not bothering everybody else.
Well, I always used to feel when I went to England years ago that they were really stuck in the 50s. Now, I go to Scotland all the time now, but I thought, man, what little brigadoon have I wandered into?
Well, you know, the first play I saw was Translations by Brian Friel. It's set in the 19th century. don't forget the Irish were occupied for 700 years. And it really, the way that, and it's a beautiful play, but the way that they're treated in this is, it just makes you so angry at the British. Because, mm-hmm. you know, and then the next play.
I think half the world are angry at them for the same thing.
That play had Kieran Hines in it.
We conducted a revolution against them.
And I was a little wary of seeing a play called Three Sisters, sort of based on Chekhov, right?
Yes.
But set completely new play set in Nigeria.
Uh-huh.
And
there
they are, the Three Sisters, and the Biafran crisis. You know, the people of Biafra wanted to separate from Nigeria pretty fast after independence, mm-hmm. and they were stopped. But I didn't realize the British created Nigeria so that British Petroleum could still control everything.
Story of the world.
It was a very moving play. I liked it a lot. And then I saw a stage adaptation, two plays, My Brilliant Friend at the Olivier. That's Niamh Cusack and Catherine McCormick. They played the two friends post-war Italy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that women couldn't even vote in Italy until after World War II. Mussolini didn't like the idea.
Well, you know, this was my favorite thing on television last year on HBO.
Elena Ferrante's book. Yeah. It mostly takes place in Naples. It's very feminist from different perspectives, working class, upper class, everything, lifelong friendship. Wonderful play. Hope that gets to New York.
But you haven't seen the HBO series.
I have not, and I will now.
Please do. And please do, if you have HBO or a friend has HBO, watch My Brilliant Friend.
I love the work of Mike Bartlett. He did Charles III, you know, King Charles III.
Yes.
And he did Cock and other plays. This is a play called Snowflake. It's about a middle-aged guy there, Elliot Levy. His daughter, who's 20 years old, that's not his daughter, hasn't spoken to him for 3 years. They had a fight over Brexit. Or did they? Why did she leave? And he sits there for the first act and just tries to sort of rationalize what could have happened. It's a very interesting play, provides no easy answers, but it's all about what's happening today.
Does he ever talk to her about
it? I'm not telling you. Go see it.
I hate these productions where it's all, you know, if they just had a conversation for 2 minutes, we would not have the entire production.
No, well, then
it happens on soap operas a lot.
I don't know why. I missed this play in New York at the Public Theater, but it's at the Donmar now. Teenage Dick, with this actor playing Richard, Daniel Monks, who is disabled, playing Richard III. But it's not, you know, they only allude to Shakespeare. It's set in a high school student election. And it is so funny. It's worth the price of admission just to watch him dance with the woman he seduces in the play in his quest for power. It's just a wonderful show at the Donmar. Then at the Royal Court Theater, which I love, a play about, well, it starts out very happily. This is a guy named Richie Campbell playing an interracial marriage. Everything seems nice. Mm-hmm. But then his boss says something racist, and the whole play degenerates into him, you know, resenting her and that hurting the marriage and everything. Wow. It's a very powerful play, A Kind of People, by Gurpreet Kaur Bhatti. And then finally, The Ocean at the End of the Lane, again, a story I'm not familiar with, by an author named Joel Horwood. This is based on a Neil Gaiman novel, so everybody was there. Kids were there, adults were there, magical realism. It's all about a very put-upon boy who meets a girl who shows him a dark, mythical world. Very great stagecraft, reminds us of how stressful being a kid can be.
Well, we have 15 seconds left. That is our summary of the news of the last 3 weeks. I'm amazed we could get through it all.
Oh,
that
and
fast.
My reviews are at gaycitynews.com if you want to read the whole full reviews.
And
gaycitynews.com.
We're done. Goodbye.
Bye.